I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Hey, it is 5 o'clock fire. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty, the blonde bomber. And old Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, and Moneybags is still living off of his glorious Monday night.
And it was so glorious.
We have the latest, and the latest is, first off, 5 o'clock fire brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And tomorrow it is Thursday, and that means Thursdays and Fridays, The Drive will be live on the road. And tomorrow, Thirsty Thursdays at Buffalo Wild Wings. Shout out to people at Bud Light as well, who will be hooking people up, courtesy of Bud Light, with a bunch of prizes and some fun out there. Good food, good drinks as well. But come on out to Buffalo Wild Wings, 17195 Tomball Parkway in Houston. Landmark, it is on the other side of the highway from Willowbrook Mall. It's right over there, Willowbrook Mall area. That Buffalo Wild Wings over there, last time I was over there, I enjoyed myself at Buffalo Wild Wings, and then I came out and slid over to that ice cream place that's right next door to it.
Hold on, Joe!
Got a cone and everything. I thought everybody was going until I saw the promo staff. They caught me walking out with that cone, that ice cream cone. But come on out. Have a good time with us. A good spot. And Friday, we will be at one of our favorite spots, East River 9. You can come play 9 holes. You can come play some pickleball. They've got pickleball courts as well. And you can come hang out with us, man. It's a great, great spot in the city, right in downtown. And come hang out with us on a little football Friday. So the next couple of days, we're doing that. All right, here, as we kick things off, I want to give a little round of applause. Our guy, Will Anderson Jr. Will Anderson Jr., who had 3 sacks in the game, had a pass deflection that ended up being an interception. Again, Eric Murray, what a hell of a play, hell of a catch to get that pick. But we said it last week, or we said it on Monday, excuse me, that Will was the best player on the field. Clint, you said he'll be defensive player of the week, and he is.
He is
the defensive player of the week, and had a takeover game in that game. And I saw a ranking of the top 5 in terms of early season defensive player of award, defensive player of the year award nominees, and he was in that top 5.
Will was.
I saw a listing. Now they took my man from Detroit out.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, they took him out because he's done. But he was in the top 5. So good for him. So shout out to him and the Texans. They've been racking up these awards for players of the week, whether that be offense, defense, or special teams. And Will Anderson's the latest.
Yes, sir. It's good to be there. Joe Mixon week 1, Kyme Fairbairn twice, week 2 and week 5, and then here Will Anderson. Week 6, man, 4 of 6 weeks of the season, the Texans have at least one of the 3 players of the week out of the AFC, whether it's special teams, offense, or defense. Keep that trend going now, 4 of 6. That's 2/3 of the time, boy, the Texans have some kind of AFC player of the week worthy performance. That's big time. Yeah, man. And Will definitely deserves it, man. I mean, the numbers are there. The box score was there. The film is there. It was a real moment for Will Anderson of, let me just go out here and wreck shop, whether it's a run at me, a run away from me, a pass, a quick ball where the quick pass where the ball gets out quick and he deflects it for the interception. If the quarterback holds on to it at all, I'll go get a sack. All the way around, that was big time by Will Anderson. Well deserved.
Yeah, good for him. And we'll see if he can continue in a big game against the Packers coming up next week. Also here with the Texans, fellas, the injury report is out. And let me go through the guys who did not practice. Azeez Alshire did not practice. Foley Falakasi did not practice with a shoulder. Kamari Lassiter did not practice. A little bit more on him here in just a bit. Also, Henry Toa Toa with a concussion. So he's in concussion protocol. He didn't practice. That'll be one to watch to see how long he's in that. Jimmy Ward, more on him in a bit. Groin, did not practice. And then Robert Woods, who missed missed last week's game, also did not practice. Joe Mixon, Delshon Phillips, and Laremy Tunsil were limited in practice today. Good to see that guys like Dameon Pierce aren't even showing up on the injury report. But, Clint, that's a lot of guys out. And as I said, a little bit more on Kamari Lassiter and Jimmy Ward. Clint, rookie corner Kamari Lassiter is expected to miss a few more weeks with that shoulder issue. And Jimmy Ward has a groin and is expected to at least miss this Packers game. So, Clint, there's a lot of guys there who did not practice today. And then that's big to see Kamari Lassiter and Jimmy Ward. Those are two starters in the secondary that are going to be out. And you're going up against, I think, the best passing attack you've had to face this year. I know the Vikings have been really, really good. But you look, they had some guys out in that game. And I would take Sam Darnold. I'd take Jordan Love, excuse me, over Sam Darnold and the rest of that crew. So this is a tough blow for the Texans to have both those guys out.
Yeah, the position that sticks out to me that I'm worried about is linebacker crew, Ron. You know, there's clearly, not minimizing what you mentioned, there's no doubt about it, the secondary, particularly the cover defenders. We'll have you concerned with what the Green Bay Packers do and how they spread the football around the park. Make it really hard for you to hide a duck, if you know what I mean. So that is a problem. But Azeez Al-Shaair did not practice with a knee injury, one where he left the game last week, came back in, and then left the game again. Now, did he leave the game the second time because of the injury? Yeah. Did he leave the game the second time because they had 41 points and had a good firm grasp on the game? But Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry Toa Toa did not practice because of a concussion. You're already down Christian Harris. There's some quality depth at the linebacker position, but it's just that. It's depth. It's not guys that you want starting games and having to deal with what the Green Bay Packers can throw at you. So, for me, this week, the big one, last week it was offensive lineman and running back. Was like, what the hell's going on? This week, it's just the first Wednesday report, so no panic.
Yeah.
But, boy, those linebackers already without Christian Harris and no Azeez and no Henry Toa Toa at practice. That's rough, man.
Yeah, just a note there as well. Kamari Lassiter says he'll miss a few games, according to Aaron Wilson. So that would be Packers, Colts, and Lions. Or I'm sorry, and Jets would be the few games with the Lions coming behind that. So that is one to look at to see what they do, and that means what the likes of Ross will be in the game. I know Kadar Holden got moved to the practice squad and moved up, so they're gonna have to go in a different direction there in terms of those guys having to step in for Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting again to see how they handle certain personnel groupings. I know when you get into third down situations, you're going to see some 11 personnel. Like I said, the Green Bay Packers like to spread it out. They got confidence in a lot of guys. They don't have one big horse like Davante Adams. They've got several guys that can play, and they throw the foot, spin the ball around the park. So they're going to spread out several above average guys, and they're going to find your below average DB. And shoot at him. So it's going to be interesting how the Texans approach their nickel defense. Do you bring Eric Murray down, leave Jalen Petrie in there kind of deal, or do you mix
King
in
is still around?
Yeah,
do you
add
him.
To your point, Kadar Holman is more of a cover defender than he is a safety. So, you know, he could be a guy that you would think would fit into that rotation a little bit. So we'll see what how that shakes out as the week moves along.
So that is the latest there as the Texans dealing with some injury stuff. Tomorrow will be a big day to see how many guys aren't able to go again.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint and Tyler, I know this is tough for you. The Yankees, they go up 2-0 in the ALCS. But for many Astros fans, Gerrit Cole was bad. Not great. 4 1/3. He had to get
that spider tag.
Yeah, it might have been. He was really, really good in the closeout game against the Royals last week. So I don't know about that. But But they get the win. They're up 2-0. Aaron Judge finally hit a home run in the postseason. I was listening this morning, driving around to Payne and Pendergast, and I was surprised they were, and I think Lopez was kind of there too. Like they have more hatred for the Dodgers and want the Yankees. They'd rather the Yankees.
Yeah, I heard that.
To win it all.
Like they said, between the two of them. It was like so that the Astros can be thanked by Major League Baseball for always taking care of the Yankees in October. So now they're cheering for the pinstripes.
The Yankees just have more guys that have personally in some way messed with the Astros.
I got a message for those Yankees.
Like Garrett Cole dipped to go to the Yankees. Like Aaron Judge and those guys, they were pretty big in the Jose Altuve cheating and a lot of that cheating stuff.
No one should give an F about Aaron Judge. I mean,
no one will forget about 2019 and the World Series and Soto and, you know, his
smile.
His antics and his, what does he call it, shimmying and shifting in the box. I was really surprised that the Dodgers was that they'd rather see the Dodgers lose than the Yankees. I feel like the Yankees, I would imagine for Astros fans, the Yankees would be the team that pissed you off because those guys that were real ass hats for the Dodgers aren't even there anymore.
Come on, Sean.
Yeah, that's I would go more towards the personal level of it than I would the organization for sure. To me, I would much rather see Shohei Ohtani get one than Soto get. What do you get another one? It'd be a second one, wouldn't it?
Soto, yeah, it'd be a second one, yeah. And Judge and them have never gotten it. And yet that to Lopez's credit, he did say, "I'd like to see Shohei Ohtani get one."
Yeah, I'd like to see the best player in baseball get one. I mean, I think to me that would be. Especially after surviving, which I know he made a boatload of money, but surviving the Angels debacle, Look, if they were still a couple of guys on that Dodgers team, I would lean.
Yeah, Joe Kelly was over there in that bullpen. There might be a shot.
Well,
maybe
Bellinger.
Joe Kelly and Bellinger are the two for me. If they were still there, I'd lean Yankees. But right now, it's hard. I'm not a.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Mookie Betts. I like Mookie.
Yeah, Mookie don't bother me.
No, bother me. Yeah, I don't.
You mentioned Aaron Judge hitting that first ever postseason homer for the Yanks last night. Did you notice how the entirety of the media, baseball, Major League Baseball world just lost their minds in celebration of the Aaron Judge finally putting a ball over the fence in October? It's gross. Like it's annoying. Like come on, man. This dude It's taken him this long, this generational hitter with a face only a mother could love. It's taken him this long to get that postseason homer, but everyone just freaked out. Oh, my God, this is awesome, Aaron Judge.
It's your sports hatred, man. This is your sports hatred seeking out, baby.
Yeah.
He's one of the faces of the league, baby.
Ugly ass face of the league.
Yeah, I think all of them are. I think they're all ugly. I think Shohei's ugly.
No one's as ugly as Aaron Judge.
A couple of them.
None of the stars.
A couple of them. 5 o'clock fire.
Give me a second. All right. Sources in Pittsburgh, Clint. The Steelers plan to give Russell Wilson first team reps in practice this week, putting him in line to make his season debut. He's finally healthy on Sunday night against the Jets, so that'll be fun. Russell and Devontae Adams. And Aaron Rodgers potentially. By the way, the Steelers are 4-2, tied for first place in the North with the Ravens, with Justin Fields, who has 10 total touchdowns and one interception.
That's right.
But it looks like potentially they're going to be going with Russell Wilson. Any problem with this?
I don't have a problem with it personally. I think only I haven't watched enough Justin Fields tape to know what he's leaving on the field. Now, I've watched a couple of games, and I know he's leaving some things on the field. I'm also very aware that Justin Fields and his legs being used in the run game is a serious aspect of them running the football well and how effective their run game and their O-line can be. that dynamic changes when you throw Russell Wilson in there. I would bet some good money that it's very easy to watch the film from a pass game perspective and see where you would expect Russell Wilson to get the football out on time and make more plays and big plays in the pass game. But to me, it's a huge risk because it's Russ. I mean, Russ, you want to talk about acts that have worn thin in the entire NFL, much less just in Pittsburgh. Like, it's the same thing I said. It's even worse, actually, now that they're sitting at 4-2 and they're winning some football games and showing a little bit of promise. It's even worse now with Russ, where if he doesn't get in there and win, obviously, and play well and show that they're a much better offense with him over Justin Fields.
Mr. Unlimited.
It could get ugly really quick because I don't think he's a Mike Tomlin guy. I don't think he's a Pittsburgh fan base type of guy. I think it better go. It better be positive. It better go good, man. It better be obvious.
I'm afraid we've seen maybe the last chance for Justin Fields to be an NFL starter with this one. And you can just watch how they play. Their offense just isn't good enough.
Yeah.
And he's got a coach that you would think it would work with. And what they were able to do with Tannehill and what they were able to do with Arthur Smith, been able to do with guys that can move at the quarterback position. And, like, for me, I knew they played Sunday night against the Cowboys, end up losing that game. But Kyle Allen came in after he got injured, Fields got injured, and threw the best ball maybe of the year from a quarterback from the Steelers, just a seam route to the tight end. And it was just like, Yeah, yep. You don't really see – it's just not coming together. There's a lot of, 145 yards passing games. And it's just he put himself in position where the Steelers offense, even at 4-2, the Steelers offense is so poor that they feel like they got to go and at least try to get better.
And I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that the film doesn't show that every bit of the way, man. But when you make a move, it better equal more wins, and it better equal an obviously improved product.
Yeah. All right, coming up, Clint's a little concerned. I thought maybe in situations he was concerned. No, he's concerned overall about one of the most important players for the Houston Texans. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Shout out to Josh Hader.
Or Lauren Stern. Lil Wayne fan.
Is her song?
It's right here, Get It Turned Up.
I didn't know she walked out to this like Josh did, but.
No, she didn't do any walk. She didn't any walkouts yet.
That's what y'all should have walked out to. When y'all came in for the wedding party, y'all should have walked in that piece. And now Mr. and Mrs. Stern have rolled out like this. Fireman walked out like Josh Hader does.
This one right here will turn her up. Now you get her, you catch her at a moment when she's inebriated, and this right here comes on. You gonna see a side of wifey that I don't see much.
I hadn't seen the dance. She a dancer?
Well, just like anything else, she claims and she gives off like she can't, like she doesn't and can't. But then when you get your mind right, and all of a sudden the right song hits, all of a sudden you're like. Like she at our after party at our wedding, she was doing stuff with her dad. And I'm like, what are we doing?
That's exactly what I thought of was the story you told about the after party at your wedding.
What are we doing? I mean, are you? I'm like, damn, I didn't know you had that in you.
Hill and your dad right here.
Yeah, I mean, there were several people that were like, hey, your dad's sitting over there. He's up, and it was. I mean, it was. I'm critical now. I'd be the first one to be like, nah, you can't dance. Chill out on that. I was like,
man, go ahead, do it.
Damn, I married
you
well.
He was like, what?
I married better than I thought I did.
He's like, God, dog, huh?
Yes, indeed.
God, dog,
you huh? Grab one of them fire ants and go.
Okay. All right. Someone texted in, when is Clint not concerned? He's not concerned. There is, however, something he is concerned about. And I don't think he's alone. Now, I think there are going to be some people who text in and would disagree. I think you're maybe a little bit more than I am. For me, it's just a way that he is used. But you're more than just the way he is used and how they're putting him maybe in single coverage. There seem to be more concern for you about Derek Stingley than just them leaving him as if he's just some sort of a shutdown corner.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. If the topic is where do you view Derek Stingley right now as a corner in this league?
Pro Football Focus has him ranked number 19.
I think that's probably fair.
Based off this year.
Yes, based off this year. I think that's probably fair. I would be more comfortable my Twitch and my YouTube or my text line, whichever it is, I would not be concerned. I would be significantly less concerned if Derek Stingley Jr. in what, his fourth year?
Yep.
Third year, fourth year.
Going into
Lovey drafting. So this is the third. There's yep. Lovey, D'Amico, and Derek Stingley Jr.
It's really about the 69.
Going into this season, he stayed healthy. He's played more football, decent sample size of football. We've seen him travel with the likes of Amari Cooper and shut him down, keep him out of the box score. When I'm looking at the 2023 season, I would feel more concerned if Derek Stingley Jr. was in the top 10 of corners, whether it's PFF or whoever's ranking right now. There has been... And let's be clear, like when he was drafted, I expect him to be the key to the defense. Like when I say key, you do what he did against the Cleveland Browns last year. However often you need to, anytime you put Derek Stingley on the other team's best player, and he's going to take him out of the damn game. At least going to minimize the damage that particular player can do. He don't need no help. He can just put him over there and let him do his thing. That's who I expected Derek Stingley to be. When you draft a corner in the top five, that's the expectations. The bar is really high. And based on what we've seen this season, there have been far too many times where Derek Stingley allows a defensive back to shake free and create space underneath in critical, in critical short yardage situations. Receiver. What'd I say?
You said defensive back.
I meant receiver. Yep. To shake free, and it's almost like a lackadaisical approach, just la-di-da, I'm gonna tiptoe through the tulips until the game matters. And he's allowed far too many, for my comfort, receivers to get behind him. There ain't no way on God's green earth that Butte from the New England Patriots should be running by Derek Stingley Jr. in a 14-zip ball game at the end of the half. Under a minute left played in the first half. They're getting the football coming out at halftime. Butte runs by you for a touchdown. It shouldn't happen. It can't happen. In the first week, Indianapolis Colts, they ran right by him, and Anthony Richardson missed on the go route. The caliber corner that I expect Derek Stingley to be, the big, deep 68-yard throw over the top in quarters coverage. You would expect Derek Stingley to make a better effort on playing that ball over the top in quarters coverage, all things considered. Like, there's just I'm my level of concern for Derek Stingley Jr. is that you can't trust him right now to go out there and just lock a receiver down.
Which, to be fair, there aren't a lot of corners in the league that you can trust to just say, hey man, go lock down that guy on that side of the field. I mean, that doesn't make him him terrible.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what my expectations are for Derek Stingley Jr. Especially a guy like
I certainly believe that's what the Texans' expectations are, because they leave him on an island.
Look, when the Jets roll through here and it's Davante Adams, hey, I mean, my expectations aren't as high. If Amari Cooper was on the Buffalo Bills and they rolled through here, my expectations wouldn't be as high. And I've seen him take him out of a box score. But now Joe Flacco is quarterback, but I've seen him take him out of a box score. I think against those top corners, hey man, guys make plays. Guys that caliber are going to make plays on anybody and everybody that's out there.
Jefferson's going to make plays.
Yeah, Jefferson's going to make plays. This week against Green Bay, there shouldn't be a guy on that team where, when it boils down to it, they're attacking Derek Stingley Jr. in critical moments of the game. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the case. And it is, game after game after game. And so I just the thought of I'm just
we've been
curious.
We've been seeing this a lot. It's just, I mean, it hadn't been that many times. It was just, you're talking about one time. I don't think there's just been one time. I like you talked about it. There's Pierce. Mitchell Damshire, his first game of his life, he just ran past him by 20 yards. And obviously Boutte, DJ Moore in one-on-one situations, I mean, created big-time separation between them. So I just, in terms of, he is the best corner, the best member of this secondary. But in terms of, hey, we can blitz, or we can just shade our safeties to the other side of the field because he's got it. I don't know if that they can live with that, especially with the receivers and the quarterbacks that are coming up.
Yeah, no, look, I'm with you. And look, I think the most the most frustrating part for me is that some of the stuff you mentioned and some of the stuff I mentioned, like it's almost, like I said, like lackluster, just ho-hum, kind of I'm bored until it matters. You know what I mean? Like that's what it seems like. That's what it appears. And that's the part that's like, man, just, you know, buckle down. I mean, eliminate a guy, like eliminate guys from the game plan. Eliminate guys from, especially in critical moments. And it hasn't been, I'll put it to you this way, he has not been as locked down as I thought he would be at this point in time. Assuming his health, which he stayed healthy through all of training camp, I don't think that there's, like right now, I hope that he would be more locked down than he is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they thought he would be. And I think it's a dangerous thing of, hey, we're going to blitz and we're going to keep you one-on-one with better receivers. Well, and clearly, Clint, we've seen it from the preseason. Daniel Jones, clearly. Yeah. Teams are not afraid to throw over there.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird. We talked about it. It's been weird. Like, Josh Allen, who threw it 30 times and only completed 9, he throws a touchdown to the left side to Coleman on Lassiter. And, I mean, he rarely went that way.
Yeah.
His throws, I bet you, on the outside, more or less, were to that side. Same thing with May, to that side towards Stingley. It's just been really, really odd. What's my man? Caleb Williams kept throwing it to that side. Yeah. So teams are not afraid to throw it to that side of the field on Derek Stingley Jr. Yeah. It was weird. Like, we're talking about the preseason, the Giants. Daniel Jones just came out. He just continued to throw that side. Now, he picked him off. But yeah, it's just – so it's not fear. It's not like a deal of, man, the hell with that. We ain't gonna throw to that side. It seems like, you know, blind eye, there are as many throws going that way than it is Kamari Lassiter.
I agree. I mean, I've been surprised that they haven't chosen to go deep on Kamari Lassiter more than at least take shots than Derek Stingley. It's been interesting. Now, I don't know what that is, why, or how, but – they damn sure have arrived there, and teams have tried him. There's no doubt. And I just, you know, we played 6 games, and I mean, there's at least 3 times where guys have been just ran by.
Text line, Boutte barely beat him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Critical situation, under a minute to go in the first half, 14-0 ball game, the opponent's getting the ball coming out at half.
Like, you know,
and
the NFL.
And you that give up a go route.
That, you know, the can't NFL happen. That wasn't barely. That was
no. That was a throw. That ball was thrown inside and short.
Yeah,
and he still caught it. Yeah. No, that wasn't. Yeah, wasn't nothing barely about it. It was fairly easy, to be honest with you.
All right. I love what Bobby Slowick did Sunday with the Patriots, and I think it's proof that it is something that he has to continue to do as the season goes on, even if it is something that we and fans look at and feel like he needs to chill on. We'll discuss that and Tyler's best bets also coming up a little bit later as we continue riding here on The Drive coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Again, remember, if you are out and about tomorrow, 2 to 6, we'll be out at Buffalo Wild Wings, the Buffalo Wild Wings near Willowbrook Mall, 17195 Tomball Parkway. If you're looking for the address, we'll be there from 2 to 6. courtesy of our good friends from Bud Light, a lot of prizes for you to have the opportunity to win, and some fun, good food, good drinks. I just saw somebody text in and say he and his wife used to go to that particular location every single Wednesday to go hang out. Well, come on out again. Bring the lady with you and have a good time with us on Thursday. Remember, Friday we'll be at East River 9. Melissa looks like she's punking out from coming to East River 9 on Friday. But many of
what happened? What do we mean?
Oh, she's not gonna be able to make it. I think she just tweeted that.
So busy.
She's busy or something.
Well, maybe she is. Busy with stuff. Maybe she's a professional. I mean, maybe she's a career gal. Maybe she's got something work wise busy she's got to do.
It just seems.
Maybe she's got a hot day.
Sure. It just seems. Seems pretty perfect alibi to just not come by, but that's good. Any of our other listeners and any of our other great female listeners, come on out. Have a good time. Get your chance to win some prizes as well there, and really enjoy yourself. Who the hell am I talking? I ain't been out there the last two times. But well, come on out.
It's a good point.
Have a good time as the drive is on the road the next couple of days. Tomorrow, Buffalo Wild Wings near Willowbrook Mall, and Friday at East River 9 in downtown. So come hang out with us. All right. Hey, Clint.
Yeah, man.
We were here last week, and they had beaten Buffalo, and the offense struggled in the second half, or really post Nico Collins. There was a lot of issues with how much they were running the ball, when they were running the ball. And to me, Clint, I think there's a couple of things. One, Sunday's game against the Patriots clearly to me showed that this offense, and this isn't a shocker for anybody who watches football, but this is why Bobby Slowick is so hell-bent on at least giving the effort to do so. This offense, clearly it's at its best when they have the ability to, at the very least, make you think they're going to run the football. Make somebody think that they can gain some kind of positive yardage and they could do something in the run game. Because the two times that we've seen this offense be special or look to what we may be accustomed or maybe what we thought they would be in the offseason is the games where they've run the football well. And that's week one against the Colts and last week against the Patriots. And so, to me, he's got to keep doing this. They have got to establish some sort of run game. I don't care if they do it off the bat. I don't care if they do it in the second quarter. I don't care if they pass to start it. They have to go out there and run the football because we could see where this offense is. And, Clint, clearly this is a Joe Mixon thing. And I said it earlier in my stock up. It is clear Joe Mixon's value. The offense has their best days when he plays.
Yeah.
And I know that's a short sample size in six games. Two of the games that he played, they scored the most points they've scored. They played the best. They ran the football the best. The other games, they struggled. But to me, Clint, I think Sunday just really showed, obviously the opponent, but it really showed what this offense can be and why Bobby Slowick is hell-bent on running the football, you know, as much as he is. He's still throwing it. They lead the league in passing yards going into yesterday's or going into Sunday's game, but they got to run the football.
Yeah, look, I think this is all about winning championships, man. Yep. And if they're going to win a championship, C.J. Stroud's going to need some help. It's not going to be – there may be a game here or there. Hell, there may be the biggest game of all if you ever get to a Super Bowl. Maybe one where C.J. Stroud's got to let it all hang out and he's got to throw for 500 yards and drop back 50 times. And, you know, it's just constant pressure on C.J. He's got the ability to do that. But if you're going to make a run through a 17-game season and then you are going to – play and win three or four playoff games versus the best that the AFC has to throw at you, and then obviously the Super Bowl with the best of the NFC. Like, if you're going to make that level of a run, what's that, 21 possible games, 20 to 21 games?
Yeah.
If you're going to make that run, it's going to require that CJ Stroud get some help. And that's why I've been so critical of just like Bobby Slowick's got to figure this thing out. Like you've got too much invested in the offensive line. You've got too much invested in the tight end position. You got too much invested in the wide receiver position, running back room. You've got too much invested to not be able to, at the very least, in complimentary fashion, run the rock. And the team that the opponent doesn't have to be afraid of you rushing for a buck 50, but they damn sure have to be afraid of you being able to run the football on first down,
yeah,
and be in second and eight, second and seven, second and six.
And I'm not
you got to be complimentary at the very least. And so I think that's what this is all about. I agree with you, Ron. You can't give up on it. You just got to figure it out.
I'm not sure. I'm not saying that their offense can't be successful.
Right.
Without it, like we've seen it. But that point you made is a good one. It's about winning a championship. I don't think the quality opponents that they would have to run through on a road to get to a Super Bowl, I don't think that they can have two games in which they're one dimensional.
Yeah.
And win. They may be able to get one. Like they may their first round game, they may be able to get, you know, Buffalo or the Jets or whoever may make the Chargers. Yeah. They may be able to do that. But I don't know if they could beat, let's say, the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Chiefs when they are just one-dimensional.
Yeah.
They got to be able to run the football in those games. Because we saw Clint last year, and I know there's a different team, but we saw last year when the Ravens didn't allow them to run the football, like it was a struggle everywhere.
Well, it's not that it's just impossible and it can't happen. It's just that if you're going to give yourself the best chance, you want to establish the run and be able. We've seen this. The beautiful thing about this offense is, I mean, C.J. Stroud is obviously tremendous, and C.J. Stroud could, if anybody can make that Joe Burrow type run all the way to a Super Bowl and potentially win a Super Bowl, it's this quarterback and C.J. Stroud and this wide receiver room and Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Steph Diggs. I mean, if anybody can do it, that group would be able to pull it off. Again, in very Cincinnati Bengal fashion. But if you're making decisions based on giving yourself the best chance once you get there, being the best version of yourself, it is to create some level of physicality, to figure out schematically what runs it is that Joe Mixon and this offensive line execute the best, and then now all of a sudden you got play actions. Now all of a sudden you're sucking the defense in and you're able to get bigger plays. And C.J. Stroud is going to be like next to unstoppable when that happens.
All right, you got any money making tonight?
Yeah, real quick.
Go ahead, let's get it in there.
I got a trifecta for you, best bets tonight. I'm on the under for the FIU UTEP game.
Ooh, okay, you mixed in college.
Yeah, under 47. And then I got two baseball bets for you, both dealing with Dodgers pitcher
Walker Buehler.
Yeah. I'm on under 3.5 Ks for Buehler tonight and over 4.5 hits allowed.
Yeah, that feels, I don't know what's happened to him. He used to be one of the best pitchers in baseball, especially young pitchers in baseball, and performed well in the playoffs. I think they felt more comfortable with him than they did with Kershaw at times, mm-hmm. But he has really struggled. I know you do. So we'll see. There's his best bets, FIU, UTEP, under 47, and then Walker Buehler, under 3.5 Ks and over 4.5 hits allowed. And there, that series 1-1, and they're back in Citi Field in Queens tonight. So coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Nick Caserio will join the show. And after that, The fellas will take over Area 45, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, live and local until midnight. So stay tuned with the fellas. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Thanks to D'Amico and CJ for being on the drive sort of today. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
maybe break the ice a bit. Somebody you don't know.
Male bonding.
Yeah. You think women do that? You think women feel that way? By the way, farting while you're taking a leak is one of the best feelings in the world.
It is a relief.
It's very easy, and it just, the exit, the
yeah. It's better out like, than in, I've always
It's almost
said.
Like exhaling. It's a great feeling. Do y'all think women feel that sense, yeah, same
it's
sense?
Like, it's basically coming up like next. Exhaling through your butt. Yeah.
I'm saying what I'm saying.
We're working with Clint here.